Good Friday. Today is January the 17th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, back in December, the USDA announced that after 3 years, there's no longer any northern giant hornets. This is good news if you're a bee producer. However, there is a hornet on the East Coast to be concerned with. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants. Simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, taking a look out in the backyard and garden, we're going to talk today a little bit about the northern giant hornet, formerly known as the Asian giant hornet. Back on September of 2019, a northern giant hornet nest was found and destroyed in Vancouver Island, British Columbia, and it was the first nest as well as the first confirmed report of this non-native enemy of the European honeybee found in North America. Well, in December of 2019, the Washington State Department of Agriculture confirmed that a dead hornet collected by a resident in Blaine, Washington, was the non-native giant, and Blaine is on the U.S.-Canada border almost directly across the Strait of Georgia from where the first ones were found, and it was the first confirmation of a northern giant hornet being found here in the United States. Well, on December the 18th, the WSDA, that's the Washington State Department of Agriculture, in partnership with the USDA, announced that after 3 years without any confirmed detections, the northern giant hornet is officially declared to be eradicated from the United States. That's sort of a big deal because, again, this is a primary pest of our European honeybees, and with all the other challenges that the bee population has, we did not need this invasive species coming in and causing more havoc. So that's the good news. The bad news, though, is that U.S. needs to pay attention to the closely related yellow-legged hornet. Now, yellow-legged hornets feed on a variety of insects, including honeybees, and if allowed to establish in the U.S., these invasive pests could threaten populations of domestic and feral honeybees, some of which are already endangered, and then other native pollinators. The presence could also disrupt the pollination that we have for many crops. Now, the yellow-legged hornet is considered a social wasp species that constructs nests above ground made from paper-like materials, and the nest can be found hanging in trees and on structures such as barns, garages, and sheds. Nests can be large and contain up to 6,000 workers. Now, as we mentioned, the yellow-legged hornet is not native to the United States, but it can be mistaken for a few domestic species. The key places to look for identification would obviously be along the head, the thorax, the abdomen, and the leg. For these yellow-legged hornets, the head is mostly black with some front-facing yellow and orange and black eyes. The thorax is mostly solid dark brown or black, however, and then the abdomen has alternating bands of dark brown or black and then yellow or orange. The legs themselves are brown or black near the body, but then as they get towards the end, they have yellowish segments as well. So the yellow-legged hornets have a wasp waist between the thorax and the abdomen. That's also something to keep in mind. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now from hornets to mosquitoes and a new biology as a control tool. Having an understanding of the biology of those mosquitoes helps us actually control them and minimize impacts in a harmful way to the rest of the environment. Rod Bain tells us more.
Not only is it still winter from a meteorological standpoint, but in several parts of the nation, it still feels like winter. Too soon, perhaps, to consider how to deal with mosquitoes in the summer? As Penn State University Extension's Jamie Kopko points out, now is a good time to learn more about biology of mosquitoes so you can be prepared to deal with them.
A lot of people don't realize that there are important differences in what kind of still standing water different kinds of mosquitoes like.
You heard Kopko say different types of mosquitoes. He points out regarding mosquito species in his state of Pennsylvania alone.
There are roughly 50 different species of mosquitoes, somewhere in that ballpark.
Also mentioned, different mosquito species prefer different types of standing water as their nesting area to lay eggs.
Some of them are all about a little pool of water that builds up in a clogged drain spout, or a discarded tire, or trash on the side of the road, or something like that. They love these teeny tiny little water bodies. And then you have other types of mosquitoes that are like, give me a swamp. I want a swamp or a pond or something big.
Another differentiation between mosquito species based on their biology, how far they can fly.
Some species, especially the ones that kind of go for those real small breeding areas, they tend to stay close to home. So they might never travel more than 100 or 200 yards their entire life. So if you can find where they're breeding and clean that up, you might make a big difference on how many mosquitoes you've got. Where other species of mosquitoes will fly for miles, and especially if like a storm system rolls through, the wind might blow them some. So you can be like, we're getting hit by all these mosquitoes all summer long and we can't find any breeding sites. Well, yeah, their breeding site might actually be a marshy area 2 miles upwind and they're all just blowing in.
And Copco says knowing when mosquitoes are active during a day part is important.
If the mosquitoes that are causing you grief are mostly active in the evening, if you can just coordinate your outdoor time to be like, we're done with whatever we're doing outside before the mosquitoes come out, that's a really easy way to just avoid them. Versus if they're out during the day, then your evening campfire might be totally fine and not get mosquito pressure.
Then there are potential mosquito treatment methods based on biology. Some homeowners can do on their own.
There are different traps on the market that you can buy that basically are just like a bucket of water, and you throw some grass clippings or leaf litter in it, and it creates this really appealing egg-laying site for them, and it's got a one-way door in it. So the female mosquitoes can get in, hoping that they're going to lay eggs, and then they can never get back out.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.